Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
All right, this is such a weird question, but it is really like, it started this morning, and now I want to ask the question before we get to Katie here.
Oh.
Who has a saved body part in their house somewhere? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. All right, so we were talking earlier this morning about...
My pee stick.
Your pee stick.
Yes.
It's true.
I shared on Instagram in my Insta stories that I still have the pee stick that showed the positive pregnancy test from when I got pregnant or found out I was pregnant with my son, Jimmy. So this stick that I urinated on, it has been sitting in the bathroom drawer for almost 3 years now.
So I can understand this. Like, that is a memento.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's a big deal, right? So I was telling Kristen that, after we made fun of her, that when I had cartilage taken out of my knee, like, I mean, we're talking about 25 years ago when they weren't very good at it. When you said you had a knee problem, they're like, all right, we're just going to rip as much cartilage as we can. You're going to have to deal with bone on bone for the rest of your life. But I had the cartilage in, like... They used to give you a jar, and they used to put solution in it, and there was your cartilage. I guess they figured you spend thousands of dollars on it. Merry Christmas. So I kept it in my house for a long time. And then Kristen said she wanted to keep one of Bart's parts in the house.
My husband cut off half his finger in a tragic table saw incident approximately 10 years ago. And, me being the type of supportive partner that I am, in his sedated state, I asked the doctor, where's the finger? I want to keep the finger. Because, you know, it's his.
Right.
It's
like,
you know, right? And they would not allow us to take the finger. It was a biohazard. And so we weren't given permission to take it. We were denied his finger.
So are we normal or not? Do you have a body part that is not attached to your body somewhere in your house?
I know. I do have my dog's bladder stones.
Huh?
But it's more...
Your spice cabinet must just be popping.
So what? Leroy, like, over... Like 15 years ago or something like that, almost, he had urinary issues and that we had to do surgery. And there was like this giant bladder stone. All the little stones had joined together to form one giant stone. And it looks like a blackberry.
Infinity stone.
It is. It's fascinating. And I have it in a little medicine container in the same bathroom drawer where my pee stick is.
Is it in like a prescription bottle? Yeah. So you could be going in there to get like a different prescription. You're going to end up eating those things?
No, you can't eat that. It's hard. It's like a rock and it looks like...
So is an Advil.
But no, it's big. It's like a blackberry. It's a huge blackberry.
Okay. All right, we're not the only ones.
Thank God it's not in your produce drawer.
All right, David, good morning. You have a body part still in your house somewhere. You're just not letting that thing go. David.
David. Hey, sorry.
What's up, man?
So my mother saved the skin from my circumcision.
What? Whoa. No, she did not.
Skin
Stop,
from
dude.
The circumcision.
Stop.
And where does one put that?
She put it in a photo album at the beginning of my graduation booklet. No,
I was going to say scrapbook, but I was joking.
Come on.
Seriously?
So wait.
I wish that was a joke. It's not. She saved it, and she put it in there, and then on my graduation day, she showed everybody.
Oh, no. What?
Your mother?
She should be arrested.
Why, bro? Why?
Is a fascinating human being.
That she is.
Yes, she is.
You win.
Yeah. I mean, you're the first caller, and I don't know how we're going to beat this.
You came strong.
You can't beat foreskin.
Now, does it actually say, like, in the scrapbook what it is, or is it just a white page with your foreskin?
It is my baby picture, date of birth, all the actual things, and then foreskin.
Yeah, so yeah. Wow. 8 pounds, 2 ounces, 27 inches long, foreskin.
Yep. Damn. All right, David.
There you go.
Thank you, man.
That was a hell of a start.
Yep.
You can't beat that.
No, you can't. Can't. That's tough.
Good morning, Teresa. You're part of the Bird Show. There are body parts in your house that are not attached to a body.
Yeah, I can't beat foreskin. But I have all of my children's baby teeth and my wisdom teeth from when I was 16. I recently had to get rid of them because I'm now remarried. And my new husband found the box of teeth and thought I was a voodoo queen.
Now, I kind of understand the kids' teeth, right? But why are you saving your own wisdom teeth?
I don't know. They were cool looking. I thought maybe one day earrings. I'm not sure. I couldn't get rid of them.
Earrings.
I see why he thought you were the voodoo queen.
No. There's a reason why people keep the teeth. And I don't know if you saw this, but it went viral on the internet a while ago. My friend Leslie from Alabama is the one who found it, and this is very Alabama-esque.
This can't be about teeth, then, if it's also an Alabama story.
No, it's about the loss of teeth. You're so mean.
That's low-hanging fruit. I'm better than that. I'm sorry.
You are better than that. No, so this grandpa carved different animals and took his grandchildren's teeth and made the animal, like, gave the animals teeth that were his grandchildren's teeth that had fallen out. So there's, like, a beaver that he carved out of wood, and he used his granddaughter's teeth as the teeth of the beaver. I swear.
No, stop.
I swear. And so the kids are opening this at, like, you know, they're older now, and they're opening this at Christmas, and they are dying laughing because, like, yeah, there's, like, these hand-carved animals, but it's real human teeth that they have that used to be the kids.
All right, in the email, it turns out that Kristen was at the heart of exposing infidelity and had zero idea.
I had absolutely no clue. So the email goes, "Hi, Bert Show. I met a man online last month and things were going well. But after being burned in my last relationship, I didn't want to take a chance. Here's the story. Johnny is divorced and his wife cheated on him and he left. He said lying and dishonesty were deal breakers. Great. We have that in common. He said he lost his job due to depression with the divorce and was job hunting. Also, he said he no longer had a cell phone because they had a shared account and she removed him. Honestly, that was a red flag, as what person doesn't have a phone? We were only texting first thing in the morning and in the evening. Another red flag. I decided last night to create a fake Facebook account with the prettiest person I know. Kristen.
Aww, that's so nice.
It's sweet, but also I don't know how I feel about it. I sent Johnny a message saying I found his profile, and if he was single, I wanted to get to know him.
I really want to know which picture she used.
I do, too.
Was it the one from your former show when you were, like, in your sexy picture?
No. No. Have you guys from ever the calendar?
Seen, yes. Have you guys ever seen this picture?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Oh, damn.
I want to see it.
Yeah, we need that.
You can Google him. In the meantime,
you think I won't.
I lost a bet and had to do a sultry calendar.
It was hot.
Which we raised money for Bob's Buddies.
Yeah. You done good.
So in the meantime, he texted me at lunch to see how... Stop Googling Abby and focus on the email. I can hear you're typing over there. I know what you're doing.
Arguably, this is more important. Also, I didn't find the photo.
I would like to pause and just... I would like you guys to look at it for the very first time on the show.
Okay.
Can you see it?
Did you find it?
No. It's a lot of unsultry photos. Actually, the first photo that popped up is the rainbow coming out of your butt on Instagram.
Google Kristen Klingshern slut.
No.
I'm a little worried I'm going to get a virus.
Google.
Oh, wait. Is this you sitting? Nope, that's not you.
Nope. Kristen Klingshern calendar showgram.
Calendar showgram.
Maybe they're gone.
They took it off the internet.
I wouldn't blame them.
It fell off the internet.
Wow.
There's a photo of you giving yourself an IVF shot. Oh. Sexy.
Yeah, very. I'll find them for you. I will show you at another time.
Okay.
Let's get back to this.
Okay.
Focus. All right. I decided last night to create a fake Facebook account with the prettiest person I know, Kristen. Thank you. I sent Johnny a message saying I found his profile. If he was single, I wanted to get to know him. In the meantime, he texted me at lunch to see how I was. He then messaged Kristen. I called her Danielle, and here is the last snippet. I tried to give him every chance to back out, but Kristen / Danielle is gorgeous. So thank you for causing me to only waste 30 days. Here is the IM with Kristen / Danielle and my text to him. I have since deleted everything. So this is Johnny and Kristen, I do believe. Have you dated anyone since your divorce? Do you want kids? No one special in your life? Johnny said, I've been single for 2.5 years. I have been single for 2.5 years ago and have not been in any relationship. I've been focused on healing. I can't say kids. That will always be a mutual agreement between couples. Then I/Danielle said, I like to be up front. I don't talk to a ton of men. I like to get to know one at a time. Are you talking with other women? I don't want to interfere. To which he responded, I wouldn't have talked to you if I'm talking to other women I'm interested in. I believe you must have seen some ladies flirting on my post, but that's for the public, not my personal life. I'm not a man of many women. I'm always a one-woman man, so we can proceed. And so then she texted Johnny, and she goes, so, ... My friend was looking out for me. Glad I only wasted 30 days. I'm not happy with her, but glad the truth is out. Ooh. And then she sent him screenshots of his conversation with me/Danielle.
Got him.
And she goes, and when I was talking to another man before you, I had the common decency to tell me that a woman from his past came and he wanted to see where things went with her before moving. But so, yeah, she used my picture and she catfished her dude and trapped him. And sure enough, he was willing to step out on her, so...
It's still very flattering.
Yeah.
Right. She You're used your God's picture, work. Right?
So, you know what? Just over here doing the Lord's work, and I didn't even know it.
By accident. That's how big you are.
I'm very flattered that you think my pictures are worthy of catfishing a man, so anybody else out there... Feel free.
Have you found the pictures yet?
No. I've Googled everything. Kristen Klingshern slut, Kristen Klingshern slutty, Kristen Klingshern slutty calendar. And it's just you and your beautiful family and your rainbow butt.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be really easy to find. I think it's been pushed off the internet.
The internet got rid of it.
Got a breastfeeding photo of you and Jimmy. Your boobs are very veiny.
Yeah, yes, they are.
Wait, what?
So it's like spider boob.
I do. When I was breastfeeding, they were so veiny.
Okay. Shooting webs out of them.
All right.
The Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
In an immature world, if you had to be cheated on, would you prefer that your partner cheated up? Or cheated down.
If you had to be cheated on.
Right. Okay. Now, everybody has... I need y'all to put on your immature hats for this, okay?
I don't need a hat. I'm right here.
Wear it every day, baby. Yeah.
Okay,
That's why we're all here, man.
Yes, sir. So, cheating is wrong. We all know that. Nobody in their right mind would deny that. But if you had to be cheated on, would you prefer that your partner cheated what we would call up or down? And I had this conversation on my podcast In the Moment, which I share with Katie and my dude Keon, and it's under Burt's Network Pioneer. And I honestly thought when this topic came up that me and my guy was going to be on the same page, and we have now been debating this for 2 days straight, right? And it all started from when Cardi B made headlines for cheating on her husband, Offset, while admitting that she cheated while she was pregnant with allegedly an NFL player whose name is Stephon Diggs. And so the conversation...
We're not going to mention names, but if we did, it would be Stephon Diggs.
Allegedly. Alleged.
And maybe Tyreek Hill.
And maybe Tyreek Hill.
Maybe both.
Right.
I'll judge.
So because Stephon Diggs would be considered, I guess to put it simple, a similar guy to Offset, which is her current husband, who she's cheating on.
So he's not the most faithful is what you're saying.
Not even close.
Okay.
He is a known sniper, as they call them nowadays, right? So
didn't you say they interviewed the teammates got interviewed and they were asked, well, who's the one guy you would not want to date your sister? And literally every single one of the teammates said his name.
And it's a lot of players on the NFL team. Every single one of them said this guy, right? So the conversation then went viral of like, wait, so when you cheat and you get revenge, like, should it be up? Should it be equal? Should it be down? That's how it all started. Now, for me, it was pretty simple. If I'm going to cheat, if that's something I'm going to do, I'm cheating up. I'm not cheating equal. I'm not cheating down, because I didn't understand people saying that what Cardi did was getting revenge. Because to me, it's like having a job. If you have a job and this job is not appreciating you, they're undervaluing you and they're not giving you what you're worth, so you leave to get revenge on that job, to go to a job that's going to treat you the same exact way, that's not really revenge. Like, what did you accomplish in doing that?
Mm-hmm.
You might as well have just stayed where you were.
You made a lateral move. You didn't make an up move.
Exactly. So to me, like, real revenge comes in the form of success. Now, if you go to a different job and they start valuing you and giving you your worth, now you can look at the other job and go, this is how you were supposed to treat me. So I feel like if Cardi got a man that treated her like a man and showed Offset how a man is supposed to treat a woman, then you got real revenge because you found success.
Okay, so you're not asking if we were to get cheated on, do we want our partner to do it with somebody like up or down? But we're asking, we're the ones doing the cheating. And if we're going to cheat on our partner, are we going to cheat with somebody who's better than them or worse than them?
No, no, no. I am asking the initial question. This was just how the conversation started,
oh,
right?
Okay.
So you're asking for the Quavo angle on it. Like, if
Offset?
Offset, I mean. You are asking, would Offset take comfort in knowing that she cheated on somebody up or down?
Pretty much. If you were in Offset's shoes, exactly that. So once that conversation ended, that's when we got to... So if you're going to get cheated on, right, what would you prefer? Now, I thought this was an easy one. I would prefer my partner to cheat down because at the end of the day, if it's not like I'm like if I violated you and you moved on, then the mature part of me would want you to have a better situation.
Same. I want you to cheat down because then I know the problem's not me, it's you.
Exactly. So it makes it easier for me to have to let you go because now I don't feel like I was the problem. Like, you cheated. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to cheat on me and then I look up and you want a yacht with somebody with way more money than me.
No,
that
no.
doesn't make me feel good about myself.
No. I want to look at who you're cheating with and be like, ooh, that's your type?
Right.
You can
I lost it.
Nothing. So that's why I thought it was simple. Like, you would rather your partner cheat down. I was... shocked to find that not only him, but most people that have interacted with us on this conversation and debate are on his side.
No, they're wrong.
That's what I thought. They rather someone cheat up because then somehow, some way, most people seem to say they would feel better about being cheated on if they looked up and saw that the person was, at least if you're going to cheat on me, you cheated with somebody, I can understand why you cheated.
Yeah, I'm in that boat. For me, it's like, well, I can't beat that. I get it. You know, if it's someone richer or super hotter, it's somebody who has something I don't have. I'm like, well, I understand it. Like, nothing I can do in that competition. Good luck. Have fun. And then I know they'll get dumped.
Where are you at, Abby?
For me, I want them to cheat down. And that's purely an ego-based thing. Because I feel like when you get cheated on, period, like, that's already such a blow to who you are. Like, oh, my God, like, was I not good enough? Was I not this enough? Blah, blah, blah. It makes you feel less than. So if I can look at the other girl and be like, she kind of busted. Honestly, like the immature part of me, like, is gonna feel a lot better.
I'm with Abby on that. I went down also. You can also justify up though. Like, if Amanda messed around with Chris Hemsworth on me, I could say I never had a chance.
That's what I'm saying.
I never had a chance. Yeah,
but it's gotta be way better.
But if it's down, then I'm like Abby, and I can go, "Oh man, this is not a me thing. Look at this guy."
See, I would be delusional in the cheat. Like, there's nobody you're gonna cheat on me with that I'm gonna look and go, "Oh, I get it." I'm still gonna be mad regardless of who the person is. So I would prefer it be a person that you're not about to go live a better life than the one you had with me.
But if you cheat down, then I'm like, I'm that bad that I drove you to that.
See, no, because it ain't about you. See, that's you don't make the cheat about you.
It's about them.
Exactly.
That's right.
Here's the thing. If I get cheated on, I'm leaving. So I want to know that you're going to suffer.
Yes.
And so
if you're with
someone worse than me, I want to know that even though I'm suffering because you've hurt my ego, I want you to suffer with someone worse than me.
You want to wake up to that face every morning?
Yes.
Have fun with that.
Absolutely.
Bye. I will absolutely say that when I break up with somebody, I do hope that they do well or they break up with me. I want them to do well, just slightly better or slightly worse than what I'm doing.
And if you cheated on me, I don't want you to do well at all.
At all.
Not even a little bit.
Right.
The Burt Show.
One of our producers, Jackson, wants to talk about Asian fetishes. FYI, he's Asian.
This is true.
Wait, you are?
Surprise, surprise.
No, you said you came across this reel and that there is a fetishization of Asian men, especially Korean men.
Specifically Koreans. So this is actually a reel that someone DM'd me on Instagram. And so this is from @KylaYu.
Really quick, I am so sorry to interrupt you. This is very important. But you and Abby have been on the same brown sweatshirt.
We've noticed this.
Every time you guys wear like your tannish brown, like beige sweatshirt, you're both wearing it on the same day.
But here's the thing. He wears this sweatshirt every day. Because we were matching last week and I was like, oh my God, look, we're twins. Like, we're both like neutral queens. And I've noticed that he just wears it every day.
I rotate through about 3 hoodies throughout the week. Yeah. And so today was beige hoodie day.
And I also have hoodies that I rotate through, and today is beige hoodie day. But I feel like you also had that one on yesterday.
No, I had the black one on yesterday.
All I know is I feel like this has happened at minimum three times.
Well, this is the second time it's happened, for sure.
It's felt like more. And that's why I wasn't able going to be able to focus on what you said unless I addressed the beige elephant in the room.
I'm glad we covered that.
Okay. Now on to Asian fetishization.
Yes. So this is from at Kylie Yu. This was DM'd to me. And she's basically just talking about how Asian men, specifically Koreans, have been sort of fetishized lately within the last probably 5 to 10 years.
Fetishization of Korean men. Women are flocking to South Korea for Korean men. In 2005, just 2.3 million men traveled to South Korea. By 2019, this had ballooned to 10 million. Compare this to the just 6.7 million men who visit South Korea. Because of K-pop and K-drama, Asian men are now experiencing idolization and fetishization. Korean dramas in particular feature men who are romantic, sweet, kind, and in touch with their emotions. Compared to the sometimes sex-obsessed men of other countries. Many of these women are traveling to South Korea for romance. They are searching for what's called soft masculinity, and although they come from everywhere, North America, Russia, European countries, they're usually straight women in their mid to early 20s. This is an interesting phenomenon that's developed in the last decade. I think it's super different from the East Asian female fetish, which is sexual in nature. These women who are traveling to Korea are looking for romance, not for sex. I personally just don't believe women fetishize men in the same way that men fetishize and objectify women.
So I have some mixed feelings about this.
And who submitted this again? Who's the real from?
This is from at Kyla Yu.
Okay.
On Instagram. And this is super interesting to me because it's just so different than how Asians and specifically Koreans have been viewed since I was a kid. When I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of Western media attention on Asians. You didn't see them playing a lot of major roles in movies and TV shows. Music wasn't super popular. And so it hasn't been, you know, we were always kind of seen as like docile, a little bit more submissive, nerdy, like never sort of like the main character in a lot of things. Whereas now there's a lot more movies that have been coming out with a lot more Asian representation. But it goes even beyond that, where it's actually Korea's cultural, you know, people themselves are actually becoming a lot more popular. You heard her talk about K-dramas and K-pop. Those have just absolutely skyrocketed in popularity lately, and that's caused this huge wave of, you know, additional exposure. And so it's really interesting because on top of that, Korea actually exports, like their culture is considered an export. They spend billions of dollars every year promoting these kinds of things to get out to the world to make money. Whereas a lot of times you hear about countries exporting oil and crops and whatever other, you know, raw material type things. Whereas Korea, a major export of theirs is actually their own culture.
So for you, is this a good thing, or is this like, is fetishization a good thing or a bad thing? Because I mean, it is like, popularity is a good thing and exposure is a good thing and representation is a good thing. But where's the line?
Yeah, like fetishization has sort of negative connotations to it. And we've had this debate on the show of like, what's the difference between fetishizing and preference, right? And so to me, when it comes to fetishization, that means that you are pursuing someone solely based on a physical attribute. And that is the only thing that you see them for. That is a requirement for you. Whereas a preference is a little bit different because that's something that you can prefer a certain, you know, race, you can prefer a certain look, but that is not the end all be all. You still are looking at them at the individual level.
So if women, though, are going because they like Korean men for their supposed soft masculinity, and that's something they're in search of, and it's not necessarily a race-related thing, but it's more a cultural thing, is that kind of like that fetishization, or is it cultural appreciation?
It's a little bit of cultural appreciation, but the thing is
appreciation or appropriation? We're talking about appreciation?
Well, I'm asking if it's like appropriate. It's not really appropriation, but like, are they just appreciating that in the Korean culture, maybe men are a little more feminine and that's what they are actually, I won't say feminine, but like they're looking for that in a relationship and a romance because maybe the toxic masculinity isn't doing it. And if they know that Korean men have that, is it a fetish? Because it's not physical, but it still is an assumed stereotype.
Honestly, I think that it's a little silly because they're going after this romanticized view of what they think these men are. Mm. They're looking at the characters that they're portraying, especially in these K-dramas, and are looking for that. And I don't know, like going to any country based on what their media represents, like their people, it just doesn't super make sense to me. You're looking for a fantasy, right? And going back to your point about like how I feel about this, it's twofold. On one hand, I'm appreciative of the fact that we're being put on the map. More people are, you know, in tune with other cultures outside of their own, and I really like that. But then it's kind of taken this extra step where there's this subset of people that become overly and hyper obsessed with the culture, and then that doesn't really sit super right with me.
Because they're believing in a fantasy almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jersey Shore did for Jersey. Because, you know, people saw that and they wanted, you know, to gym tan laundry and they wanted to, that's the men they were looking for. I am totally kidding, by the way.
I was like, how am I going to help her make this cognitive leap?
I'm like, it's not even remotely close.
Listener Chrissy here's got some drama going on this weekend. She got caught shoplifting. But it wasn't on her. It was a friend that did it. And she's wondering if she should call the friend out. Should she just eat this? Hey, Chrissy.
Hey, thank you so much for helping me out with this because I don't know what to do.
All right. So you were the one that was doing the shoplifting or your friend was the one doing the shoplifting?
Yeah. So I was the one who got caught shoplifting, even though I didn't actually shoplift. My friend... ex-friend, I guess I should say. We went to the mall and there's a store that we like a lot and we both found some things. And, you know, when you're leaving the store, they do the thing where they check your receipt against your bags. And they opened up my handbag and I was like shocked to see some very expensive makeup in there with the tags on. And I was like freaking out because I had no idea how it got there. So they take us both to the back. They threatened me with arrest. It was like a nightmare. It was horrifying. And I pleaded my case. And I guess like because I was so freaked out, I mean, I was like crying and like I really didn't know where it came from. They ended up letting us go, or letting me go, I guess. My friend was sort of there for what I thought was moral support. But they took a picture and they posted it in the back, so all the employees there are not allowed to let me back in, and this is a place that like I frequented, so it's just completely humiliating. And this friend like didn't really say much during this whole thing, you know. So fast forward a couple days later, she called me to admit that she slid the makeup into my handbag, my purse, and planned to get it out without me ever knowing about it.
So she was using you as a mule, and you had no idea.
I never thought of the word mule, but yes, exactly. And it was like, I was completely upset and horrified, and obviously, like, she's not my friend anymore. But here's the thing. Like, I love this store. And now I'm banned. So do I go back and tell them what really happened? Or make my ex-friend go with me to admit that she did this?
No, she's not going to do that.
She slid like goods into your purse without you knowing, trying to shoplift it out of the store. Yeah, I doubt she's going to go back and fall on the sword.
I don't know. Is there a way I can do it in a sneaky way and make it happen before she knows what's going on? Because her picture should be in the back.
I know.
I see. So you're going to bring her back to the store? Like, hey, let's go back shopping.
If you could figure out a way to do it, I would do it. I mean, I don't see why not. You have nothing to lose at this point. They already got your picture up and you banned and you didn't do it. I would certainly go back there and tell them the truth. And I don't know how you get your friend there, but if you could figure out a way, I would.
They're probably not going to believe you, to be honest with you, right? I mean, they know that.
True.
Although you do have some leverage here. If they know you and you shop there quite a bit and you've paid every other time, then they may want you to keep going there. So you might have some leverage here and it might not be that uncomfortable. But just the integrity part of it, man, I would want that just shaken off of me.
Well, you could call them and ask them to check the security cameras. Like, if this really happened the way that your friend is describing it, just say, hey, I'm a loyal customer to y'all. I was so upset with what happened the other day because I legitimately didn't do this. I want to be able to shop with you guys again. Can you please check the security cameras and see that it was my friend doing it? Now, they may think that you were actually an accomplice in it. Like, this could end up backfiring. But I think at the very least, if you want to go back in the store, this would be the one way to prove your case.
I think it's a great idea to request the footage, right? And then also, I would call up their friend again and I would ask her, I would bring this up and I would ask her, hey, she's going to say no. Record the phone conversation and get her admitting on the phone that she did this, and then take that phone recording into. So I'll be like, I'm still shocked by what you told me the other day. You know, I can't believe that you put that stuff in my purse. I really want to go back to the store. Will you go in and tell them that you did this? And that way I can get unbanned and then get her reaction. No, you know, and then hopefully within that conversation, she admits that she's the one that did it. So now you have Abby's security footage. You have my phone conversation and you can take that in. And because obviously you don't want to be friends with her anymore. So it's not about salvaging this relationship or this friendship or lack thereof. And you could take that stuff in. Or you can just chalk it up, depending on what you have going on in your life. Is it worth your time to go through all this to have access to the store?
Yes, it would be.
Okay,
it would be. But I didn't even think about the cameras and recording a phone call with her. It's like, that's brilliant.
Well, do it this weekend and let us know if it goes well. This feels like something that you would see in a movie and it works flawlessly, but in real life. Like, they're like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Do me a favor, though, Chrissy. Check whatever state you're in. Check the law. I know, like, for instance, in North Carolina, as long as one person knows the phone call's being recorded, it's fine. So you would know it's recorded. In other states, both parties may need to be aware that it's being recorded. So just cover your bases on that. But that's what I would do.
You got some good options.
All right, Chrissy, let's check back with you on Monday and find out how it all went, okay?
Thank you so much for all the help and support.
All right, good luck. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Always a question about, like, tipping culture, tipping guilt, tipping entitlement. Are you supposed to tip every single time? So Mo sent me this video this morning of what appears to be a delivery driver that has delivered a nice amount of stuff from the back seat of her car.
Yeah, her trunk was completely full with stuff. So she was doing a lot of shopping.
So she is dropping it off, and then the video clips starts, I should say. The video clip starts when they're starting to have this back and forth tension about tipping and not tipping. So there must have been a conversation that she wasn't going to get tipped or she didn't tip on the app or something.
So is this like from a particular store, or is this just like a generic, like, if it's coming from the trunk of her car, is it like one of those freelance Amazon drivers who are dropping
like
off packages?
Instacart type of thing.
Yeah.
It's one of those. She appears to be like the delivery person for one of the companies.
Oh,
probably
from like
Instacart or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
And she's delivering a lot of stuff. So, like I said, the clip starts and they already have this tension.
I'm going to be sending this back so you can get another delivery.
No, I'm going to be getting my money back. Try calling the
cops. Get your
money
back. Go ahead.
And then you get arrested for stealing.
I don't care. Go ahead and call the cops. What? Come on, where's your phone? Come on, bring it out.
Are you
go ahead and call them.
That
like, at this point, I don't care.
You are so spoiled. No one would want to tip you in the first place.
No, I actually get tons of tips. I get tons of tips. That's
you
why
do,
I'm confused why you guys didn't give me a tip with this big batch.
You just scream at people. You
play
bully
them. This batch is, I had to load it into my car.
Wait,
you're just unloaded Ambrose, you guys. And I brought it to you guys early, by the way.
No.
And that doesn't matter, right?
No,
yeah,
because
you're
arguing.
Wait, did you accept this order expecting a big tip? Is that what this is?
No, I didn't even leave a tip. She just thinks that she can get something extra.
No, I'm not talking about.
Did you expect a big tip?
If you appreciated my service, you would tip me, but clearly you.
Why would I tip
care.
Somebody who's angry?
Who's what? I wasn't
rude.
Angry when I did all of this.
Yes,
I'm
are.
Angry now because you guys didn't tip me.
Well,
you guys should have tipped me and I wouldn't be angry.
Well, guess what?
It's that simple. It's literally simple logic. But
no.
Clearly you don't understand
no,
that,
you
right?
You don't understand that
yeah,
you don't deserve
don't,
a
you
tip.
You don't understand it. How do
you
I, why don't
deserve...
I deserve a tip?
Look at yourself. Look at your eyes.
Why don't
look
I deserve
your trunk.
A tip?
Look at your trunk and that's
yeah,
the answer.
I'm taking the food back.
You're stealing.
No, I'm taking it back to the store and you guys will be
so you have the receipt and you're just going to return it?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
that sounds like a waste of time.
Congratulations, you figured it out.
That sounds like a waste of time.
Working now. I'd rather
no,
you deal with it now. I'd rather not have to deal with you
you're
guys.
You're not getting
so that's
paid for it.
Fine for,
you literally won't.
All right, that's a fun day at work.
Oh, geez.
That's a lot.
So who's wrong, who's right? Let's start the debate here.
Well, I've never used Instacart, and so for those that have, do you typically tip your delivery person?
Yes, you definitely tip.
Cass, you went in on this from somebody that said that she was addicted to Instacart for a while, right?
Oh, I still am. I have a membership. I probably use it literally every other day, if not every day, you tip. It's like a standard 20%. So what happens is people do big grocery orders like for $200 or something, and then they don't realize that's going to be a $40 to $50 tip, and they're like, "Oh, I'm not going to give you that." We always tip, and like always, we usually do pickup though. But if it's delivery, you tip, and it's in the order in the beginning, but you can change the tip later on, and you can change it at the beginning. So the driver should have seen if there was a tip or a $0 tip, but mm-hmm. I've never been on the driver's side, so I don't know if they can see the tips or not. But as the user, I'm allowed to change that tip up front.
So, yeah, I use Instacart quite often as well. And it's what I think happens with a lot of people is there are a lot of different charges if you're not used to that. So you're going to get a delivery fee. You're going to get a service fee. It's a lot of fees. And then when the tip comes in at 20%, like Cash said, it's a pretty hefty tip. I mean, these people are literally shopping for your food, so I have no problem tipping mm-hmm. them very well.
It's a premium. You're like, you're paying for a premium service, so you don't have to drag your ass to the grocery store.
Absolutely. But sometimes people don't believe it, which this is what I'm taking from this video in the comments. Some people like to tip after the service because they don't like to tip before because they don't know what kind of service they're actually going to get. So you
are you
going
to get my right? Are you going to give me one banana or a bunch of banana? The person shopping can like screw up like a lot of things.
Exactly. So some people are more comfortable tipping at the end of it. I'm more comfortable tipping in the beginning because I want you to be happy about picking up food for me. But in this case, I think the woman, she showed up with a lot of groceries. She clearly did a lot of shopping. And I think the woman was waiting to tip her when she got there. But the woman had already showed up with the mindset of you didn't tip me and you weren't going to tip me. And then it seems as if the receiver kind of tried to use her attitude of showing up, not expecting a tip as a reason to not tip her at all. And so at that point, the shopper is like, well, if you're not going to tip me anything, then I'm taking all of these groceries back to the grocery store and you'll have to reorder all of your stuff.
The problem is what's happened with like things like I think Instacart and Uber Eats is that drivers really rely on the tips because that's how they get. I mean, I'm sure they get paid, but that's how they get paid, right? So if you do a run like that and spend all that time and don't get tipped, it's a waste. You could have been working on an order for someone that would have tipped you and paid you out. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the problem is calling it a tip. It's not really a tip. You're paying the driver to go shopping, but people don't see it that way.
Here is Brittany. Hey, Brittany, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. I've done service and gig work, and I experience, you know, people tipping before, people tipping after. I myself, when I do these services, I tip afterward. I've had bad experience with delivery drivers in different situations. But I don't think it's right to confront anyone, you know, because when you take these gigs, there's a possibility you may not get tipped. It's just kind of what comes with the job. But I don't think confronting anyone is necessarily the right way to go about it.
God, you just never, I agree with you, of course, but you just never know what somebody's going through. What does she have? Kids at home that, and she really needs the extra cash and she goes above and beyond and is thinking, okay, at least I can feed them tonight. I don't know. You just never know.
Yeah. You know? And I see both sides of it. You shouldn't confront anybody, but at the same time, imagine doing an hour of shopping and then you come back to somebody who's not even going to give you a dollar for it.
Here is Stephanie, who's an Instacart driver and is livid at that audio. We only got a couple of seconds here, Stephanie, but go ahead and vent.
Yeah, I'm an Instacart, DoorDash, Grubhub, and I see a lot of drivers who get pissed off about not getting tips, but you know if you're getting a tip beforehand, and you should never, ever treat a customer like that. Mm.
So you're upset at the Instacart driver, not the customer in a case like this. Okay.
Yes.
Appreciate you calling. All right, so we might have ourselves a daddy-uncle situation on our hands here.
Oh, a dunkle. Those dreaded dunkles.
So there's a rumor flying around her family right now that her uncle is actually her father. So she's not exactly sure if she wants to find out for sure or not.
Dear Burt Show, I'm in my 20s, and I was raised by my mom and dad, who are married and have been since I was 3. There's never been a question about my dad, but recently my extended family has been telling me there's been rumors that my uncle is really my dad. The problem is my uncle passed away a year ago and had never mentioned this to me, but has told everyone else he thought he was my dad. His daughter, which is my cousin and my absolute best friend, came to me and has asked me to do a sibling test to find out the truth. My mom and dad don't know I'm doing this and don't know anything about the rumors in the family. Should I do the DNA test or not? Since my uncle is gone, it makes me feel like he didn't want to know since he never told me.
So it's her sisters that are asking her to do this,
her
right?
Her cousin. Her cousin wants her to do. There's specific tests you can do. My best friend just went through this because there's a woman that popped up in her DMs, and I'm not kidding you, just a couple years ago, and she's like, I'm pretty sure I'm your sister. And they took the DNA test, and sure enough, when you look at it, it can tell you how close you are in DNA, and they definitely, they're sisters.
So would there be any health benefit for the cousin making the request, or is she just being kind of nosy and just wants to know?
This is all nosy. This is just nosy. It's just family. So, huh? But that doesn't matter. She wants to know, like, should I do the DNA test or not? Is this something I want to know, whether or not my uncle is actually my dad?
Nope. I would stay away from this one. I mean, it just feels like with the uncle being gone, I mean, you can't really get any answers from him, and he can't defend himself in the situation. The family obviously doesn't want you to know. If they raised me, these two people who I consider my mom and dad since I was three, and that's all I've ever known in my life, for me personally, I would be good with that, and I wouldn't go shaking that tree up. I wouldn't want to know any more than I know now.
And I'm pissed at the extended family. I don't care if she's in her 20s. She's still the kid in this situation. So, like, you're talking behind mom and dad's back, but you go to the kid and tell the kid this information. Like, that stuff you go to the parents with. Like, hey, everybody in the family's talking about how they think your daughter is not really your daughter, but it's Uncle Bob's over here.
Oh, I would want to know this information. Like, if this turns out to be true and my parents really kept this information from me, that my mom was stepping out on my dad and had an affair, you're setting me up for a life of not knowing my complete medical history. You've set me up for a life of trust issues, because what else is everybody else lying about? If it is just a rumor, then you're going to do the DNA test and you're going to find out everything's fine. But if for some reason you do take the DNA test and you find out some information, I've got a lot of questions for my family.
Yeah, you raise some really good points, but in this case, I don't think the truth will set you free. I think the truth is just going to make things so much more complicated. The health issue that you're talking about, or the medical reasons, I can understand, but the rest of it, man, especially when he's not around anymore and you can't truly get closure, ooh, I would run.
But you already have access to the health information because he's your uncle. That's your dad's brother. Mm. So it's like it's already in the family.
But there are still things that are specific to different sides of the family. Like especially if he's not related to you, you know what I mean? Like if you're more like your dad's side of the family, it might not even matter. But if you were more like your that side of the family, I just think it's so bizarre that you wouldn't want to know. Like you wouldn't want to know who your biological dad was, even though. I don't know. It's something I wouldn't be able to sleep at night with, knowing there's a possibility.
What's how much stock you're going to put in rumor? Because this is like your family talking. And maybe there's some truth to it. Maybe it's not. But somebody comes to me with zero proof and they just like, it's a hunch that like if he would have came to me, the dead uncle, then that's a different story. The other family chirping and like I've like families that chirp. I'm like, don't get in my head and don't like plant these seeds.
I hear you.
But I would tell my parents so they know what the family's saying behind their back.
Yeah,
I would
do maybe
that.
So.
Yeah, I would do that for sure.
Yep.
But that's as far as I'm going.
And you'd be able to tell by some looks in the face if it's true or not.
Oh, if you sit your mom and dad down and be like, yeah, everybody is saying that Uncle Bob is my real dad. I think instantly you'll be able to tell by you won't even need to spend time spitting in a cup.
No.
You got your answer right there.
The Burt Show.